And the soldiers saw what happened in the moonlight, and they said, "What is this? Did we miss? They're still alive?" And Qatar al-Imir said, "Every soldier take his spear, and we are going to throw a spear in the air." A spear is like a long stick with a sharp metal point that can kill, chas v'shalom. It's like a big fat arrow. And every soldier took his spear, and on the count of three, 1, 2, 3, they threw the spears in the air. And there was a gigantic cloud of spears flying through the air. And the Kinalak said, "Oh no, spears! We're afraid of the spears! Oh, here comes a spear!" And Avram says, "Have no fear. Hashem is here. Hashem is everywhere. Say Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Trust Hashem. We're doing a mitzvah for Hashem. Hashem can do anything." And the Kinalach closed their eyes. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. And the spears fell down. And as they fell down, each spear turned into a piece of straw, like a piece of dry grass. And it fell down on the boys and tickled their ears and tickled their necks. And it tickled everybody as it fell down and went down their shirts. And the soldiers saw what happened. And they started to get a little bit scared. And they started to shake a little bit. "What's going on here? Maybe we should run away." And Amraphel and Qatar al-Imir says, "Run away from these babies? Are you kidding? If they come up to us, we'll kill them with our hands." And so, Kinalach, the kids came closer and closer. Now, what are we gonna fight with? The weapons they had, whatever they had, was nothing compared to the weapons that the soldiers still had. They still had their knives, and they still had their shields and everything. And so, Kinalach, Avram says, "Every boy reach down and pick up a handful of the sand and the straw. Fill your hands with it and watch what's going to happen." Each boy took as much as he could carry from the sand and the straw, and they came up right up against the soldiers. And the soldiers started to laugh. "These babies are going to throw sand and straw on us strong soldiers. What a big joke. Let's kill him with our hands." And as the boys came up to the soldiers, Avram said, "Okay, on the count of three, whatever you have on your hands, throw on the soldiers." 1, 2, 3. The boys threw it, and every piece of sand turned into an arrow back. And every piece of straw turned into a spear. So like every boy, when he had a handful and threw it, it was like hundreds of arrows and hundreds of spears at the same time. And they killed all the soldiers. But Kinalach, the kings, since they were fraidy cats, were standing in the back. In the Jewish kings, in the Jewish war, the king goes first because he's brave and he shows the soldiers how to fight, and the soldiers go after the king. By the Goyish kings, first the soldiers go and the kings go last. And they were scaredy cats. And they ran away. And on the other side of the mountain were the prisoners. And Avram went over there and he found all the people from Stoim tied up. And they said, "Avram, Avram, let us go. We want to go home." And Avram found over there Loit. And he found over there Loit's family. And Avram says to the people, "You should know something. According to the law of the war, since I am finding you prisoners and I am taking you, If I want, I can make you my servants, and I can do anything I want with you. And so I'm not going to do that, because I'm not that kind of a person, but I'm going to let the men go back to Stoim, and I'm going to let the women go back to Stoim, but the children, I'm not going to let them go back to Stoim, because the Kindlech will come to me to learn in my yeshiva. The men and women will go back, but first they have to hear what I have to say. The kids will come with me to go learn in my yeshiva, to learn how they should live in this world, and they should not, chas v'shalom, grow up to be shlecht. And Avram says, now listen to me, everybody. The reason this happened was a punishment for the way you behave. You could have been killed by the four kings. You could have been made to be their slaves for the rest of your life, washing the floors and taking out the garbage and just doing low jobs and eating bread and water. And that could have been your life for the rest of your life. Why? Because you never shared anything and you never helped anybody and all you thought of was about yourself. And you never gave poor people anything. And Hashem could have taken everything away from you. Now is your chance to do tshuva and change your ways. And the kids will not go back to the public school in Stoim where they teach you how to be shlecht. You're going to come with me to the yeshiva. And so Avram took the people back to Stoim. And they got back to Stoim. And the king of Stoim was crying. The king of Stoim was there by himself, all alone, because he had run away. Which actually, the story I wanted to tell you was when the five kings ran away. The four kings also, some of them got killed, but Nimrod didn't get killed, because there's more stories with Nimrod. But when the five kings ran away, there's a few things that happened, which we'll learn inside. But the king of Stoim did not get killed, and he came back to his city. This is when everybody had been captured, and he came back and he was the only one in his city, and everybody was gone, and he started to cry. Nobody's here. All the people are gone. I don't have anybody to be a king over. I won't be a king anymore if there's no people. Can you have a king without people? You have houses, you have buildings, you have trees, you have a few dogs and cats left. Can there be a king over that? What do you need for there to be a king?
People,
that he should be a king over people. There was no people. And the king was crying through the streets. I am no longer a king. What'll I do? I don't have a job. What's he going to do? Work in a gas station? The king was so worried. Finally, he sees Avram and all his people. And he went to Avram. Oi, you saved my people. Thank you so much. I tell you what, I make you a deal. I know according to the law, all the people belong to you. And all of the money belongs to you that they have. Please, you take all the money. I'll give you all the money. And you give me back the people. Because otherwise, I won't be a king. I'll have to go work in a gas station. I won't have a job. You give me back the people, and I give you all the silver and gold and make you a big millionaire. Avram says to the king of Stoim, I appreciate what you want to give me. I don't want any gold, any silver, not a penny, not a shoelace. I don't want anything. You keep everything. All I want was the people should listen to the words of Hashem and do tshuva, and they should think over how they're behaving. And I am taking the kids to my yeshiva. And also you, King of Stoim, you're responsible. You're the king of this town. Make sure you change your ways, and the people should behave better, or else something worse is going to happen than this. This is only a warning. Everything that happens is from Hashem and Ashkacha Pratis. Something worse will happen if the people will not change their ways. And so, kiddies, all the people went back to their homes. The Kindalach of Stoim went to the yeshiva with Avram. They didn't go back to the public school. And we're going to see tomorrow what happens weiter. And we're still doing Parshas Lech Lecha. And Kinalach, the next thing in the Parsha, listen closely, is like this. Avraham and Sarai had no children. And Avram was very worried. From where is the Jewish people going to come if I don't have any children? What's going to be? Hashem said, the Jewish people will get Eretz Canaan. I'll have children. We have no children yet. And the years are going by. And Sarai was worried. What's going to be? Hashem promised us that we're going to have children. And there are three partners for a baby. The Tati, the Mommy, and Hashem who gives a bracha. Sarai said, maybe I'm not worthy, I'm not deserving, maybe I'm not good enough to have a baby. Maybe I did something that I shouldn't get Hashem's bracha. Hashem is not giving the bracha to me because maybe I don't have enough mitzvahs. And Tzadik is always worried, you know, they don't have enough mitzvahs or maybe they did a little thing wrong. Because Hashem is very, very careful with a Tzadik and judges him very strictly. And sometimes they'll do a little thing wrong, and it counts a lot. Sarai said, maybe I need a very big mitzvah, and if I do a very big mitzvah, I'll get a bracha to have a baby. What is one of the biggest mitzvahs that I could possibly do? Aha! I know what I'm going to do, she says. I am going to give a baby to another woman. I'll let another woman have a baby, and because of that, maybe I'll get a baby. Like we learned, sometimes you help somebody else do something, and Hashem will help you to do that for yourself. You'll get something for yourself. And she said like this, I am going to give a wife to my husband Avraham, a second wife to Avram. He will get married to the second wife because a man was allowed to have more than one wife. And Yaakov had four wives. According to the Torah, a man is allowed to have more than one wife. A woman can only have one husband, but a man can have four wives if he wants, according to the Torah. And there's reasons we don't do that anymore. Your father only has one wife. There's not two wives in the house or four wives. There's only one mommy and one tati in the house. But according to the Torah, and they did this long ago, they had more than one wife. Sarai says, I'm going to give a wife to Avraham, and she'll have a baby, and in that schus, I will also get a baby. Because it's very hard to give my husband away to somebody else. It's very hard to bring another wife into the house. Turn around. And who is she going to choose? Well, there was a servant in the house who was actually a princess. She was actually able to be a queen. And instead of being a queen and a princess, she would rather be a servant for Avram and Sarai, and her name was Hagar. Now, who is this Hagar? Her tati was Paroi Melech Mitzrayim. That was the father of Hagar. How did Hagar come to be a servant of Avram and Sarai? I'm going to tell you the story right now. Do you remember when Avram and Sarai and Lot went down to Mitzrayim because of the hunger? And do you remember they were in the palace of Paroi? And do you remember that Parai wanted to have a chasna with Sarai?
Yeah.
But Malach Gavriel took good care of him over there?
Yeah.
And made him full of boo-boos and too sick to have a chasna?
Yeah.
Well, Kinalach, during that time, there was a girl, a young lady in the palace, who was Parai's daughter. And her name was Hagar. And the servants would say to Hagar, "Oh, Hagar, you're so lucky, because when your father dies, you will be the queen of Mitzrayim. And even now, you're the princess. You can have anything you want. You can do anything you want, because you are the princess of Mitzrayim. If you want a dress made out of gold, you could have a dress made out of gold. If you want to have 10 flavors of ice cream, they'll bring it to you from the kitchen. If you want to go swimming, you can go swimming. If you want to play, you could play. If you want to go shopping, you could buy 100 pairs of shoes. You could have anything you want." And Hagar would say, "You know, I don't really care so much a dress made out of gold and 100 pairs of shoes, and going swimming all the time at the pool, and going to all the parties. I don't know, it doesn't make me happy. It doesn't do anything for me, all of this palace life, and all of this covet, and all of these servants doing everything for me. I don't know, it's not so good. I don't know. I don't know if I want to be the princess or the queen." And they would tell her, "Hagar, any girl in the whole kingdom would love to be in your shoes, to be in the palace, and to be with all the officers, and to be with all the beautiful things." Ah, she says, "What? The officers and all the things? All of the things you say," says Hagar, "doesn't make me so happy. I wish I would find something that would make me happy." And so, Kinalach, one day there came to the palace a man with a long white beard, and a woman who dressed different than the other Mitzrim, Sneistik. And Hagar says, "Who are these people that came into the palace?" "Well, her name is Sarai, and this is Avram. They came from Eretz Canaan." "Oh, I never saw such people that dressed like that and that looked like that." And that night when she went to Sarai and she saw Sarai is crying, and she says, "Sarai, why are you crying? In the palace, usually a person's very happy. It's so beautiful here. People love to be in the palace." And Sarai says, "Well, your Tati Paroi wants to marry me, to make me his wife. I don't want to be. Because I'll tell you a secret, the man there is my husband. He's a big tzaddik, Avram. And I'm a Yiddish lady. I don't want to marry Paroi. I don't want to marry your father." And Hagar says, "Well, if you marry my father, you're going to be the queen, don't you know? And you'll have so much dresses and shoes and beautiful things." Oh, Sarai says, "Who cares about all that? I'm a Yid. I care about Hashem and Torah mitzvahs." Hagar says, "What's that? What's Hashem and Torah mitzvahs? And what's that little book you're saying? And what are those words you're saying?" And Sarai starts to teach Hagar what's Hashem, what's Torah mitzvahs, how Yiddish Meidel should behave herself, what's the Aleph base. "Hagar, this is Kometz Alephah. Say, Kometz Alephah, Kometz Beisbah." And she taught her about Hashem. Oh, Hagar says, "This is wonderful. Yes, this is the right way for a person to live. Torah mitzvahs, not all these goyish things in the palace with all the parties and all the treifa food. You're right, Sarai. I think your way is better than this way." And during the time she was in the palace, Hagar learned a lot from Sarai, and even from Avram. She watched the way he davened and learned, and the way he talked was much better than all the guards and officers with all their lashon hara and all their kind of things that they said. And when it came time to leave the palace, Hagar ran into her room, she packed her suitcase, and she ran out to Sarai, and she said, "Sarai and Avram, let me go with you to live in your house. I don't want to live in the palace anymore. I'd rather be a servant in your house than be a princess in the palace of Paroi, my father. Because it's not sneistic, and it's not nice the way that people talk and behave. I want to be in a Yiddish house with Torah mitzvahs." And Hagar left the palace, and she went with Avram and Sarai, and she became a servant. She became like a cleaning lady. She did dishes. She did cooking. She set the table in the yeshiva and gave out the food, the carrots and the fish sticks. And she poured the milk. And she did things to help, and she swept up the floor. And this is what Hagar did. And she was very happy because she was always around Avram and Sarai listening to Torah and seeing the way tzaddikim and tzaddikuses behave. And she was old enough to get married. And so Sarai says, "I'm going to give Hagar to Avram, and she is going to hopefully have a baby. And if she gets a baby, then Hashem will see that she got a baby because I gave her as a wife, and maybe I'll also get a baby." And tomorrow, kiddies, is more from the parsha, still Lech Lecha, what happened. And so, Kimelach, Hagar married Avram. And sure enough, she became pregnant. The Baichel started getting big, and she knows she's getting a baby. "Oh, look, I'm going to have a baby. I'm pregnant." And after a while, she starts to think like this. There are three partners for a baby. There is the husband, there's the wife, and there's Hashem, who gives the bracha. If Hashem doesn't give a bracha, there could be no baby. Because a baby is a nes that a baby could get born. That a little baby should grow inside of the mommy and get born and be a new person. This needs Hashem's bracha. And all of a sudden, Hagar thinks to herself, "Wait a minute. Sarai the tzaddikis is married to Avram the tzaddik for many years. And Sarai does not have a baby. What does it mean? She didn't get Hashem's bracha. She had the husband, and the wife was there, two parts was there, but Hashem's bracha was not there. And all of a sudden, I get married to Avram, and all of a sudden, right away, I am getting the baby. What does it mean? Maybe Sarai is not such a big tzaddikis. Otherwise, why wouldn't Hashem give her a bracha? And me, I got pregnant. Maybe I'm a bigger tzaddikis than Sarai, because I got Hashem's bracha, and she didn't get Hashem's bracha. So wait a minute. What am I doing being the cleaning lady, and Sarai is the boss? Maybe I should be the boss, and she should be the cleaning lady. Because I got pregnant and not her. And so, Kindalach, the next time Sarai came in, "Hagar, look, in the kitchen there's a lot of garbage." And Hagar says to Sarai, "Well, Sarai, why don't you take out the garbage? I'm sitting down eating now. You take out the garbage today." "What? You tell Sarai to take out the garbage? But you're the servant and I'm the boss." Hagar says, "Sarai, see dishes over there on the sink?" Sarai says, "Yeah, I see the dishes. You didn't do the dishes." "Me? I'm sitting down and taking it easy. You do the dishes. And why don't you set the table now?" Maybe you should be the cleaning lady and I should be the boss. Ooh, Sarai got very upset. Hagar is talking to me like this and looking down on me, and she's treating me low, and she's making herself to be big. Oy, this is no good. Oh no. And Sarai went to Avram and started to cry. This is not good, what's happening? Here I gave my servant to you to marry, and now she turns against me and she's being so not nice to me. She has to leave. She has to leave the house, and that's it. She has to go. And the next day, Sarai came in the kitchen, and she made piles of dirty dishes. She got all the dishes together, piled them on the sink, and there was garbage all over the floor and garbage all over the place. And there was so much work to do. And Hagar comes in. Sarai says, Hagar, dishes, let's go. It's time to do the dishes right now, all the dishes. And Hagar sees that Sarai is upset, and Hagar gets busy doing the dishes. Faster, there's more dishes to do. Now what about the garbage? And what about sweeping? And what about setting the table for lunch? And what about cooking? And what about shopping? Let's go, more! Faster! You're not doing enough work around here. And let's go, come on! It's time to now serve the lunch in the yeshiva. 318 lunches. Let's go. Set the table, serve the lunch, clear the tables, do the dishes, sweep the floors, schlep away the chairs. Oy, Hagar is working and working and working. It's too much. She can't stand it anymore. She says, I'm getting out of here. I have to run away. And she runs away from the house. And she's screaming and she's running out into the midbar, into the desert. Ay, good, says Sarai. She left. That's what I wanted her to do, because she was treating me not nice. And she made so much work that Hagar ran out. Too much laundry, too much dishes, too much taking care of the house and sweeping. And it was just too much work. And she ran out. Sometimes mommy would like to run out from all the work, but she can't. Your mother ran out? Your father was in the house? And your mommy ran out? Where did she go? Did she come back? How long did it take her to come back? Oh, for 5 minutes, okay. And Hagar runs out into the midbar, and over there she found a well of water in the midbar. And she sat down crying. And the Malach came to her and started speaking to her. Not only one Malach came, Kinalach, but several Malachim came to her and started speaking to her, as we're going to learn when we learn inside. And they said, Hagar, go back to Sarai and do tshuva and say, I'm sorry. The reason that Sarai did all of this is because the way you were acting. Go back, and you will have a baby, and you should name him Yishmael, because Hashem listened to your davening. Yishma Keil means Hashem listened to your davening here in the midbar, that you were crying. Go back, apologize to Sarai, do tshuva, be her servant. It's better to be her servant than to be the queen of Mitzrayim. And you will have the baby Ishmael, and he is going to be a wild, wild person. He's going to steal, and he's going to have his hands in everybody's pockets, and everybody is going to have their hands on him, and there's going to be millions and millions of Einik Lach from Ishmael, the Arabs. That's who's going to be from you. Ishmael and all the Arabs, millions of Arabs. And so Hagar went back, and she went back to Avram and to Sarai, and she apologized, and later on she had a baby, and she never said the name. When it came time to have the baby, Avram says, I know what we should name this baby, Yishmael. Oy, Hagar says, I never told you the name. How did you know the name? A Malach told me the name. And Kinalach, every name of a baby comes with Ruach HaKodesh. The parents have Ruach HaKodesh before the baby is born. A little sparkle of Ruach HaKodesh comes into their head, and it's not guessing the name, but they figure out, they see exactly the name of this baby. Now, how this works, we're going to talk about in Bereishis when we learn about how Adam gave names. But every neshama has a name, and the parents see the name with Ruach HaKodesh. Avram had Ruach HaKodesh, and he saw the name Yishmael, and so he knew to name the baby Yishmael, even though Hagar didn't tell him and the Malach didn't tell him. And so Yishmael was born, and he grew up to be very wild, as we're going to see. And Avram was 86 years old when Yishmael was born, Kinalach. 86. And now 13 years go by, and Avram is 99 years old. And Hashem says to Avram, Avram, you're going to get ready now not to have a baby again with Hagar. You're going to have a baby with Sarai. Even though you're 99 years old, you're so an old man. And Sarai was 90 years old. Actually, she was 89 years old. She was very old. Now it's time that you and Sarai will have your own baby. But if